The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello, and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
This is Devin Leary, and Cookie is sitting with me.
And her cat, Cookie, who months ago was physically attacking her. And I was worried about my friend. You know, when you see your friend in a relationship, the moment you be like, I'm scared. That was probably when I saw
the moment they get irresponsible tattoos.
By the way.
Oh, my God. I'm hoping our parents aren't listening to this because I'm seeing a Cookie tattoo.
I got a tattoo of Cookie's name because that's just what I had to do.
I love it so much.
Okay. I got a story to tell people. And, you know, here's the deal.
Tell me the deal.
I'm doing this therapy, like in-depth therapy about that I've been doing for like a year now, about my family history, what is at the root of it all, if you catch my drift. And it's like so hard. And a lot of the time, like, it's like so hard. And by the way, like, I don't even have like a glaring traumatic event from my childhood. Like, most people would look at my childhood and envy it, but still it's like so emotionally exhausting and like painful.
I don't know. You had a nose.
I had a big nose. I mean, what can I say? People, you know, it's actually, but the healing is now at this point in my life, like, I genuinely feel like, wow, I really wish I like didn't get a nose job because I wish I loved myself enough to like care. Like, I know that sounds, I'm like, the beauty is like, not to be Glennon Doyle, but like, I kind of wish I didn't get plastic surgery, not to blow you all your minds with my healing.
I wasn't prepared. And look at me, sick as a dog over here being like, yeah, your big old nose that you used to have.
No, because it's like, I've learned to like love my, guys, this sounds so stupid, I know, but it's like actually genuinely true. It's like, I've learned to like love and have compassion for my inner child for the first time. And like, I'm just like, wow, I wish she knew she was beautiful. You don't know you're beautiful. That's me going back to my inner child when I was
but
like
you're
seven.
You're singing to a picture of yourself.
The way you light up the room like nobody else. Okay, so whatever. This shit is just like hard. And it's like, it just is that way. And it's like, there's no escape mechanisms that are healthy for me that I can do in a healthy way, except I still tried. Except one of them is online shopping. And I literally, just before we got on this, was like on Depop, like whatever. But it's just, I can't really escape it, the reality. And I want you all the time. Anyway, like, I had therapy this morning and I just came back from a trip with my best friend from high school. It was really hard to say goodbye to her. I love her so much. Like, being around her and being like, it was hard to leave her. I come back, I'm tired from that. Then I have this therapy session. I'm like emotionally exhausted from that. She's basically like, yeah, well, you can't really escape it. You just have to like feel this way. And I'm like, bitch, are you fucking kidding? No, I'm like, all right. So I just have to feel like this. Like, and then this is classic me. By the way, in the therapy session, we're talking about how like my OCD arose as a way to try to find like safety, and how when my OCD was like the worst at the beginning, it felt like peace because I was like, oh, I finally am controlling my world, even though what that looks like is eating 1,000 calories a day, or what that looks like is doing 17 rituals before I go to bed every single night. It felt like, oh, I'm in control though. Like everything finally makes sense. But my OCD arises when I feel like I can't control things. So I'm in the shower. And now this is what I'm going to say now too, but I'm not going deep into this because Caroline is like eating popcorn listening to this.
I am.
I'm not going to go deep into this because I don't have the mood for it. I want to have an open, vulnerable convo about this at some point, but right now I don't trust myself to speak on it like the way I want to. So I have been dating women. Alert the presses. Now it looks like I'm copying Gabby, the best bachelorette of all time, but it's actually been going on since before that. But so I had a date today during the day with someone I was really excited about, and they like traveled to the city, not for the date, but like it was like,
let's pressure. Be honest.
Okay. So then I'm in the shower, I'm shaving my legs. I feel a strange soreness in my leg. I say, my OCD says, that's something you're going to want to look into. Okay. So I text my friend Sam, who I met actually through my friend Haley that I was just visiting. I met Sam years ago, and she's really not the luckiest gal in the world because she became a doctor and I became the most annoying person she's ever met. Like, I was like, do I have COVID? Text, like, all my texts to her, not a single is like, how have you been doing? Like, what are you up to? It's like,
what's your last name?
Do I have monkeypox? whatever. So I text Sam. I'm like, I look back at the text. It's like insane. It's me pointing to a spot on my calf. And I'm like, I have a soreness here. It's no bruise. What do? I have like deep vein thrombosis. And she's like, that doesn't sound like the symptoms of a blood clot, but if it will make you feel better, you should get it checked out. I'm like, oh, she says it's not. I think I'm fine. I actually think I'm fine. I'm on my way to the date. By the way, the date is a doctor. I'm not trying to brag, but she's a doctor. What am I? Unemployed, sitting at home, Googling symptoms.
Thinking about your chat, leg, yeah.
Chat GPTing symptoms. What is she? A doctor. So sometimes the world works like that. So sometimes you just have enough of a personality that a doctor will take a chance on you when a Tuesday night finds you watching And Just Like That and eating cookies, you know, and that's just your life, and applying for an assistant job at a restaurant. Okay, so I'm like walking to the date. I get so when I'm anxious, I derealize. I like, this is something I just found out in therapy too. Like, I forget if I've talked about this on the podcast, but like, I thought like leaving your body mentally was like, just, I was like, that's when I have anxiety. Like, suddenly the world feels like it's not actually happening, and it looks like the people aren't real, and like, that's just anxiety. And my therapist was like, that's dissociating. And
literally,
I was like,
never felt that way in my life.
Copy that. But I also get like nauseous. Like, so I'm walking through Prospect Park. Imagine this. And I start feeling this like derealization episode. And I'm like, the world isn't real. There's like a man who Prospect Park is like scary. Honestly, it's like, there's like trails, there's like bikes whizzing by. I have to take like a side trail. There's like a man standing at the end of the trail, like saying something to me. And I'm like leaving my body. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I text the date. I say, listen, I am so sorry, but I have to be honest with you. This doesn't happen to me that often. I'm having a derealization episode and I have to like sit down on a bench. And I totally understand if you want to go home. That's my vibe right now. We were supposed to go to the fucking zoo. Imagine you're like dissociating at a zoo. Like, no, they have dingoes there. Like, I cannot.
Yeah, you made a good call.
So she's like, no worries at all. Send me your location. I'm like, okay. So I honestly was like, I'm embarrassed and like, I'm sweating and I like kind of wish she would just like go home because I'm embarrassed, but whatever.
Right,
here's my location. So then she's like texting me, like, she's like, by the way, whatever makes you feel safe. Like if you want to go home, I totally get that. And like, we can meet up later. What normally makes you feel better in a situation like this? Incredibly emotionally intelligent response.
Yeah.
I'm like, to be honest, I'm going to lay my red flags on the line. I have health OCD and I'm convinced I have a deep vein thrombosis right now. So I know the only thing that's going to make me feel better is like going to a doctor. And then she's like, I am a doctor. And I was like, right. She's like, do you want me to check it out? I was like, honestly, like, yeah, I'm like so mortified right now, but like that would actually make me feel better. So she comes, incredibly calm, warm energy. She's like, all right, like roll up your pants. I'm doing an examination. I'm like, okay. She examined my legs. She's like, again, if it makes you feel better, I'll go to a clinic with you. But like 99.9%, this is not a blood clot. I've seen blood clots. It does not look like that. But I get it if you want to go. Anyway, I felt so much better. We ended up having like a really intense and like great conversation about like anxiety and like mental health stuff and like perspective. And she was like, I was just really glad you were honest because I think that's like really cool and vulnerable. Then we went shopping together. Then she was like, we were talking about, she was like, oh, you seem like so much better after like you were so freaked out before. And I was like, well, honestly, like always the thing that makes me feel better is going to the doctor. Like I have One Medical and I use it more than any other person. I like go like once a week and I'm like, I'm actually passing away. And they're like, go on home, Devin. I'm like, okay, bye. So I was like, I guess it just like helped because you're like a doctor and you said that wasn't happening. And she was like, well, I guess maybe you should date a doctor. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
What?
Maybe.
And she made me feel so safe and normal and cool. Anyway, the point of the story is be yourself. Doesn't matter if you're good enough for someone else. It just takes some time. Little girl, you're in the middle. Also, I called, my mom called after and I was like, trying to tell her the story. And I'm like, oh yeah. So then I texted Sam and I said, oh, I have a blood clot. She's like, oh, you didn't tell your date that, did you? And I was like, okay, yes, I did. Actually, I made her examine my leg. So
no, that's exactly what I did.
You know,
in
is
fact, that was the
bad?
Only way the date was going to survive.
Meanwhile, I'm in therapy being like, I literally said in therapy today, I was like, I just feel like it's unfair that everyone else has like met someone and I haven't. And then I'm like on dates being like, so do you mind like examining how swollen my legs are? Or is that like not hot to you?
I want you.
It's also just funny the narratives we have. I think that, like, I know exactly what you mean when you tell your therapist, it's just so unfair that everyone's met someone. Truly, everyone I know, single, looking to meet someone.
Well,
every person in my office, single, looking to meet someone.
The narrative doesn't even matter. It's just what I do with it. And, like,
right.
My therapist is always, I'm always like, this thing happened. Can you believe it? And she's like, so, like, how are you feeling when you made that decision? I'm like, listen, I don't want to go into that stuff. And then we do. This is what happened for years. I had a therapist who was just such a pushover. And I'd be like, well, I don't really know. Like, it was nothing. And she'd be like, okay. And I'd be like, anyway. And then my friend did this really fucking annoying thing. But this therapist
talking
is,
about me.
Yeah. I'm like, then my friend, like, just ate popcorn in the middle of my, like, really vulnerable date story.
Devin's, like, coming out on the pod and I'm eating.
I know. I'm like, so this has actually been something that's hard for me. No, it is funny though. Like, I have a bit with one of my friends where like, I'm like, pretend like that I like suddenly have taken on this persona where I'm like, yeah, I have been struggling as a marginalized community for a really long time. So like my friend sent me an article about how there is new scientific technology that's making it possible for two women to like have a baby with both of their DNA. And she's like, finally, after you struggled for so many years, it might be possible for someone like you to have a normal family structure. I was like, oh, my God. So, yeah,
that's beautiful.
You can't escape the roasting. But OK, What is my point? My point is,
you're healthy.
I'm healthy. I think there. You know, I'm still holding on to that 0.01% chance. I'm like, listen, I might go in the night, but even if I do go in the night, at least I had a good date, and then I got to watch And Just Like That and eat cookies
with your date. Oh no, alone. I was like, alone. That is a good date.
No, alone.
I was like, if a date is like, okay, and now let's do what we both want to do, we just watch And Just Like That, that is a profound date. But I understand that's also something that you know, I honestly think telling someone you want to watch And Just Like That, or showing them your leg and asking them to examine it, I would do leg over making them watch one of the worst shows in television history.
No, but Carolina, like, you don't find it entertaining? Like, I know it's the worst show in television history, but that's what's so entertaining about it.
Oh, no. It is a miracle of a television show.
It's a miracle.
You cannot believe they put every word, every move, every director's choice. You can't believe it.
It's like, I just...
Aiden popping out of nowhere like a kidnapper.
And all these people have so much money, except, like, Aiden and Carrie are staying in Che's apartment. And they're like, oh, I don't like Che's soup spoons. This is a genuine storyline. So they go to Le Creuset and buy all new kitchen supplies to basically renovate the kitchen because they have so much money. But then Che, who was like seemingly an extremely successful comedian and entertainment person, after losing one pilot, has to move out of their apartment and rent it out and then start working at an animal rescue because they're like... So
famously how this industry goes.
I'm just like, interesting. Like, I mean, I could see like months into the strike, you're
right. Totally
doing that. But Che, it's really something else.
Like, it does not, like, one pilot makes you a millionaire. And then when it's taken away, you work with animals.
It's just really fascinating. And I do love it. All the memes that were like, but why was Aiden wearing this jacket? Aiden wearing the most insane article of clothing I've ever seen.
Incredible.
On planet Earth.
He looked like he was doing like a rescue mission of like a shipwreck.
Wait, also like the whole thing of like he can't go. I'm sorry, if you're dating a man who refuses to go into your apartment to the extent that you have to rent an entirely new apartment.
Why can't he go into the apartment? I haven't been watching a lot of it.
They go, it's the whole Aiden reunion episode is like romance, miracle, mystery. They're going out on a date. They do actually have really good chemistry, those two. And then they go back
to... Pause for sincere comment. They do it. You know what? It is really cute.
It is cute. Like, and I think he's hot and she's hot and they... Whatever. But they get to her apartment and he goes, Wait a second. You still live in the same apartment? And she's like, yeah, it's a long story, but this is where I live. And what she means by, yeah, it's a long story is, yeah, my billionaire husband... who I cheated on you with, bought me an apartment and then died in it.
And died on a Peloton.
So I live here now. And
actually,
he's like,
pretty short story if you say it like that.
Without even knowing the full details, he's like, oh, whoa. I can't go back in there. I'm like, Aiden, it's been 30 years since the 90s. Like, we've had like 9/11. We've had like Trump. Like, a lot of stuff has happened. The pandemic, you can't have the resilience to go back into an apartment where you once had like mild heartbreak.
We've been through the pandemic and you don't have the resilience to, like, go back into the apartment.
Aiden has children and a farm. Apparently he runs a farm, but he can't like be in an environment where something bad happened. Like, I'm a little confused.
So they had to sleep at Che's house?
Well, first they went to a hotel and like made jokes about the fact that they're spending so much money on room service. Even though, and he's like, that's how this is the brilliance of the writing. You find out Aiden runs a farm because he's like, what do you want for breakfast? And Carrie says, I'll have a $26 omelet. And he says, ooh, my chickens on the farm I run would be pretty upset if they found out the price of eggs here.
Love that
you
writing.
Run a farm? And then he's like, yeah, one of the chickens is really cute. It comes into my house every night and sleeps in my youngest son's bed and lays an egg in the bed. And Carrie's like, how does it get in the house? We leave the door open. Sorry, but like, that's insane. So bugs.
Piece of writing is incredible.
So that, locusts come in your house, rats and locusts come in your house at night so your son can have a a chicken plop an egg out of its vagina next to his head. That sounds safe and normal. Meanwhile, what are you doing? You're at Che Diaz's house all week. What's Wyatt up to? The chicken's watching him? The chicken's watching him. Oh,
oh my
chicken's
God.
Watching him. Got it. I didn't realize how angry I was at Aiden, but okay.
We have to do a proper and just like that catch up.
Yeah, we do. I would love to. It's like, you know, I'm all ears for that.
We wanted to quickly touch on the fantasy suites where Charity had sex with two hot guys. She sent home Xavier, the knitting, who Devin was ready for him to go home last week. This week, he gave some of the best performance of. It was almost like he wanted to go home. He was playing the guy who needs to be sent home, but it was kind of amazing.
I agree.
He in the most like calm and not trying to convince her of anything way. He's like, so I did want you to know that I was unfaithful. And she's like, okay. And Charity, by the way, could not be being more. She's so patient. It's so clear. And she has said it that she's like afraid of conflict. She needs to like learn how to be more selfish because she's like, okay, okay. Yep. No, I'm glad you're telling me this. I'm glad you're telling me this. And he's like, I was over multiple times over the course of 5 days. And you're like, I've never heard a bigger red flag in my life. Like that sentence alone that you went on a bender of cheating is so concerning. And he basically Charity is just asking him to be like, that will never happen with you. And he's like, I mean, in my heart, of course it wouldn't. And she's nodding like, yes, correct answer, correct answer, correct answer. And he's like, in my head, I don't know. I was like, wow. Again, women will come to each other's, like, women will come to men or to each other with being like, let me check out your leg thrombosis. Yes. And I will support you. Men are literally offering, I don't know if I will cheat on you or not. I can't say.
This
and
is
that's what I've decided to offer as a husband.
I do agree with you. He wanted to go home. Like I think this has happened on The Bachelorette before. Like I actually kind of thought that it happened with Zach, fucking ugly ass Putty's nephew who became The Bachelor. Which by the way, if Dalton becomes The Bachelor.
Fucking ugly ass.
If Dalton becomes The Bachelor, you have to go on. Because I just love Dalton so much.
We have to know when no is no. They have turned me away from their pearly gates. I am
but
not going on The Bachelor.
Should.
Do you know how I casually mentioned this in conversation recently with someone? Where I said, oh yeah, well, I did apply and they, you know, never got back to me. And she was like, ha ha ha. And then she was like, wait, did you really apply? I was like, yeah, I did. I applied to be on The Bachelor and they did not respond kindly. We didn't send joking pictures. Like I said, I was like, okay, this is like shows my body kind of. This is me in like a gown-ish. Like
a gown-ish.
I put my best foot forward. So when you say be on Dalton's season, that feels like a cold slap in the face to me.
No, I don't think it's a cold slap in the face. Like you never know. Like I apply to random jobs on LinkedIn every day. Have I ever gotten one? No, but I keep doing it. First of all,
that's true. That's safe.
Second of all, I applied to When in Rome or what? Remember that thing I sent you? It was like apply. Like I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I would like in no world would I survive this scenario. It was like a dating show in Rome where you like go meet all these sing. I can't even. But I got rejected from that. It's just rejection is God's protection. But that was the season.
Dot case.
No. Because what season was that? Rejection was God's protection for. Oh, was it Matt James season? Sorry. I was going to say for Zach season, but it was actually
Matt James. So I would have literally like.
Yeah. But let me say this. Xavier, much like crusty Zach, I think wanted to go home. But it's interesting to not even have the forethought to think like, oh, if I want to like he could have become The Bachelor if he like did something
right.
good and interesting and was like, hey, like I actually realized like you deserve better. I don't know. Like Zach became the bachelor from that, you know? Like, I'm like, so you could have done something right. But instead, he, like, he also was like...
And he's been asleep for every episode. We have to also...
He's so asleep. That's the thing. Like, as soon as I saw him, I was like, wait, is this really a contender? He's like, here we are in Fiji. Really cool to be here. And then she comes out, like, being carried by people on, like, a throne. And he's like, wow. Wow, the woman king. The woman king. I'm like, okay, like... Just go back to your craft store. But it is true. Knitting. It's like, she's basically like, I just want this. And it's like, why does she even want anything from him at this point? Like, it's horrifying to even think that she like she kept asking for more. She was like, okay, like you said, like, how long did it last? Okay, 5 days. Okay, multiple people. Okay, wow. And then like kept going. She's like, was it your most recent relationship? Yes. It's like, all right, fuck. Like, it's getting worse and worse. And that was just really something else. And then he was kind of like, I thought that she should have been like pissed even that she's like sent him home. And he's like, okay. Like, he was like totally fine with it. And I'm just like, fuck you. Like, you,
I love when he goes, you can put me in this car right now. And she goes, and I am.
Also, it's like, this is what men will do. It's like the men on, like we talked about another episode, the men on Hinge who are like, I'm not looking for anything serious, but like the best prompt they can come up with is, what's your favorite Judd Apatow film? Or like, I'm weirdly attracted to pretty faces. That's a Hinge prompt I've seen a man say. I'm weirdly attracted to is the prompt, and they answered pretty faces.
It's hard.
And yet they're like, but I'm not really looking to settle down, looking for something short term fun. And I'm like, you should be so fucking lucky if a troll wanted to settle down with you. But, you know, for the love of men.
She does end up having sex with two really good guys. I think she's going to go with Joey. I think it's going to be, if it's going to be anything like Bachelor history, she should be with Dalton, but she's going to end up with Joey.
I agree. That's
what happens on this show. Every season. And then her and Joey aren't going to work out for some reason. His uncle's going to be right. And then Dalton's going to show up at the reunion and be like, hey, I'm still would love to take you out. And everyone's going to cheer like, you go out with Dalton. Yeah. And then he's going to take her away on like a motorcycle or something. And Jesse's going to be like, oh, what is going on? Okay, so I think that's what my prediction is for the rest of the season. One of them should be Bachelor because they're both such good candidates.
Well, I think
Joey actually might be a little bit, he might be Paradise. I don't know if he's Bachelor.
He's Paradise big time. He lives in Hawaii. Like, he's Paradise.
Yeah. I want you.
Joey is great, but Dalton truly...
No, Dalton is a husband. Like, Dalton like, is who you marry.
And also, the things he says he likes about her are so her. Like, he said something like, Charity always leads with her emotions, and I should be so lucky to be with someone like that. And it's like, that is so true. Like, she trusts herself. She follows. I mean, let's be real. I did struggle a lot with the I'm constantly praying comment.
I'm praying right now.
I prayed with your mom. That's tough.
My prayer life is strong.
That is tough.
But, you know, there's a lot of secret Christians running around, these bachelor folk.
I don't even know if they're secret. Like,
I know. I guess that wasn't really secret. But I mean, like, it comes up and you go, wow. Wow.
You know, I found out this week that Jesse, the host, was a football player. That's interesting. I just didn't know anything. Just didn't know where he came from. Cropped up from, but there he is.
He was grown in a lab.
I know, he's really not.
He's the most sterile looking guy. Ew, I bet sex with him is so gross. Sorry,
can you imagine? No, it's so gross. It's so like, he's like, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, there, there. Oh my god, Cookie's looking at me like so disturbed right now.
Yeah, is Cookie a boy or a girl? I forget.
Cookie is a boy, but he's often misgendered, and I don't care. I understand why. Yeah, I think he's probably like non-binary conforming or whatever.
Yeah.
And Cookie actually might get a sibling. But the one thing, like, this is my one selfish thing about getting a sibling. Because I'm single, I feel like bringing two cats is different than bringing one. Like, if I meet someone and I have two cats and they have two cats, then we're going to have four.
What if you have three dogs? Like myself. I mean, they're technically my family's dogs. Grandma is my dog.
Yeah, like, you could negotiate something. I would be a single mom of my two children, and I couldn't just
a single mom looking for a partner.
I couldn't just leave either of them.
Yeah, that's hard.
But Cookie gets lonely when I'm not here.
And how do you know?
I can't stand that for even a second, that he's lonely.
I know. How do we know that he likes you?
He loves me. Oh, he doesn't like me. He loves me.
Cookie's reading the fantasy suite date card. You're like, I would love if you could read this out loud.
Oh, wait, we have to talk about friggin' Aaron.
Oh, yeah. Then, of course, Aaron from last week's episode, who Devin called it. Devin said, you should never break up with someone and tell them, am I doing the right thing? I feel like I'm making a mistake. Of course, Charity does that. And the producers know exactly what to do. They say, Aaron, we're going to film you coming right back to her. And they do.
They're like, oh, Aaron's like happily waiting for his flight, like in the airport. And someone comes up and they're like, did you ever think, like, it's kind of weird that she said she feels like she might have made a mistake. Like, what do you think? And he's like, she said what? Also, he got all the way back to San Diego and like self films this thing. And all I can think is, like, this is terrifying. Like, a man you've broken up with packing a suitcase, filming himself, filming a video. Like, this is like what ends up
should
in a
not
true
be romanticized.
Thing. It's like ends up in a true crime documentary where they're like, then he like filmed this video saying that he wasn't going to give up on their love. And then he showed up in Fiji. But she acted excited to see him. She's like, I'm not going to lie. Like, you have it on my mind. But the weird thing is, now, this is a world in which love is a currency. The word love itself is a currency.
Yeah.
She said, I love you too, to both Joey and what's his name? Dutton. And Aaron didn't even say he's in love with her. He said, I feel like I'm falling in love with you. And then when he sees her again, he's like, I felt like I was falling in love with you. And she says, I felt like I was falling in love with you too. Okay. So you're going to entertain felt like when you have two guarantees? I don't know. I'm just like, it's interesting. It also is like a television show.
That's and true. That's something that we always have to remember.
We have to remember points, that.
With specific dates where you're supposed to say a specific thing by a specific time.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if she even did love both Joey and Dutton, or if it would have just been so obvious who she was going to pick if she didn't say that.
That's a good question. I honestly, a part of me believes that she does love both of them.
She was so genuine. She was so genuine. Good to say this right now.
Yeah, and she was like, I don't want to hold back. I want to say it. I love you. I think I could get there if, like, I had a bunch of guys to pick through and I, like, got down to two guys. I could totally say I love you to both of them. Watch them, neither of them said it back. I'm like, I love you.
I don't want to be afraid
I feel like
to
we
say
left
it.
Hometowns weird, so I wanted to go first and say I love you.
And they're like, my mom hates you because she's in love with me. I can never talk
realistic.
To you again.
Oh, well, I'm very excited to see who she picks.
I was just going to say, like, when I, like, over the weekend, I'm like, I'm going to, like, make a power move and, like, block all these, like, men that follow me that I don't want to follow me anymore. Like, and all these, like, creepy fans. And it's, like, one guy who has a picture of him with a dog that says, like, Maxine is trying on a new outfit or something. I'm like, all my doting fans.
And you're like, I'm obviously not going to block
you. Yeah, I was
you.
Like, I am not blocking him. I actually really like
anyone who puts their dog in an outfit
and takes a picture of it.
And takes a picture of it. I understand you.
I
literally
trust
put
you.
My dog in a hat and took four pictures yesterday. And then
I tried
to
put Cookie in a hat, but it really didn't go well.
It really
interesting.
Surprised me how, like, I haven't moved on from that comedy. Like, dog and outfit comedy is still hits for me.
Dog everything comedy and cat everything comedy, just like, yeah, you can't beat
slaps.
That. It slaps. Like, a cat hitting something slapping. I mean, my mom follows cat slaps on Reddit, so she's always sending me that. What an interesting thought to end on. My mom follows cat slaps on Reddit, so she's always sending me stuff.
And with that.
And with that, we couldn't give you more.
I love you, Devin.
Love you.
Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.